Hello, Niners, and welcome to the Research and Software Engineering Group. And today we're talking to Ben Zorn. So Ben, let's go ahead and introduce yourself.
So I'm Ben Zorn. I'm a principal researcher here at Microsoft Research. I've been here about 10 years, and before that, I was a professor at the University of Colorado in Boulder. I've been working here on programming language implementation, and much of my career has been focused on issues related to program runtime systems, and in particular, things about the program memory allocation and runtime behavior. So today I'm going to be talking a little bit about some of the work I've been doing recently on trying to make programs more secure and also more robust using techniques in the heap.
So my office is just in front of Ben's, and I see him every day doing mysterious stuff. So I figure out today I come in with the camera and ask, "So Ben, what are you doing the whole day?" And I understand we're going to talk about memory and heap and all
Yeah,
these
so let
kind
me
of
say a
things.
little bit about the things I'm interested in. Of course, we all have programs that allocate objects. So, object-oriented programming is really big, and almost any language you use now is going to have some number of dynamic objects that get created as the program executes. And so, I'm going to talk about what happens when you allocate an object, and then what the issues are around security and reliability with those objects. So, let me start just with talking about the program heap.
So this really applies to any type of
That's
languages.
true.
Yeah.
Most of my work looks at programs written in languages like C and C++, and those programs are have more issues with type safety and security because they're weakly typed, which means that programmers can easily make mistakes and cause errors in the programs. Programming languages like C Sharp and Java do more checking at runtime, and so they don't have as many of these errors. But there's also issues around performance, which I won't talk about today, but are equally applicable in both C Sharp and C++.
Okay.
So typically, as your program executes, what you're trying to do is you're trying to allocate objects for some purpose. You might have an array of objects, you might have lists, etc. And those objects are dynamically allocated, which means that you don't know ahead of time how many you're going to need. And so essentially, you just call new, and you might have a new character, a new whatever. And in calling new, essentially, what you're going to do is you're going to allocate a chunk of memory out of the heap, which is going to be used to store the data for the object. And of course, it's going to have information about the various fields in the object. It's going to be a certain size. And you do this many times, and you end up with many chunks of memory in the heap. Now, at some point, either in C and C++, where you free the object, or in C Sharp, where you garbage collect the object, these objects get basically put back into a pool of free objects so that they can be reused. And this is kind of the process. The program is constantly allocating new objects, freeing them, and essentially trying to minimize, if you think about the heap as being your memory, the memory use of your program, you're trying to minimize the amount of space that all these objects are taking up to get better performance. You want to use less memory so that that one application isn't taking up all the memory on your computer. So the strategy for programmers is to try to be careful about allocating these objects. And the strategy for language implementers traditionally is to say, well, let's try to keep these objects as tightly packed as possible. So that basically, a typical system will actually allocate objects directly adjacent as much as possible. It packs the objects together very tightly. Now, this has good effect on performance, but unfortunately, and this is the focus of my research, has a negative effect on the reliability of the program. So a typical error might be, if this is an array, say, a typical error might be, as a programmer, I'm going to accidentally access an off by one error. So this, it might be 0, and this in C would be element n minus 1. I might actually access a of n, right, and store into that some value, 0, say. And the programmer thinks that they're modifying this array, but in fact, because these two elements in the heap are packed tightly together, what you're actually doing is you're actually zeroing out an element of an adjacent object. And that could be another array, but it could be basically any object in your system. And this kind of error, the
This is
traditional.
a fa famous one,
Yeah.
right?
This is the buffer overrun error that hackers have exploited now for many years. This kind of error results in arbitrary behavior in your program. And the hackers basically have figured out ways for particular objects and particular programs that when they overwrite that object, the adjacent object next to that object has some properties that they want to modify. So sometimes this might be information about how the objects are linked together in the heap. It may be objects about security, so it might be some kind of priority, etc. And they take advantage of the fact that when they run the program, they get this effect that every time they run it, they get exactly the same layout, and it happens to be very tightly packed. And so this structure of the heap has been taken advantage of by hackers, essentially. So there have been various strategies for dealing with this problem. One of the strategies is to actually add extra space in between the objects.
So before we go into couldn't we just get rid of all the bugs?
Okay, that's a very good question. And we have. I mean, if you look at the process in which Windows has been built, in which many different Microsoft applications have been built, there's been a lot of effort to decrease the number of errors of this type in the programs by static checking, by having patches released, and we see patches every month that basically reflect more and more efforts to find these bugs in different ways. Of course, that does a good job, but you know, it's very hard to say in C and C++ you're going to find every single bug and get rid of it.
Yep.
And so what we're trying to do in the work that I've been doing is find a way to take programs that have these bugs and decrease the likelihood that the bug, one, will cause an error that will cause your program to crash, and two, be exploitable by an attacker in such a way that they can actually then use that bug to cause your system to be compromised, you know, take over your system, essentially. So what happens in this case is the attacker has taken advantage of two facts. One is that the objects are packed so close together that they can take advantage of an overflow in one to affect another. And the second fact is that these objects are always next to each other every time they run the program.
Okay.
And so one is the fact that you're basically squeezing these objects together, and the other is that the layout of the objects in the heap is predictable. Okay, and what we're doing in this work that I've been doing, and it started with a joint collaboration with Emory Berger from the University of Massachusetts, we're looking at those two properties of the heap and asking, what if we change those properties to make it harder for these kinds of errors to cause security vulnerabilities? And so Emory and I initially developed an implementation of this idea, which we call Die Hard. And Die Hard was implemented by Emory and is available actually from the University of Massachusetts as a download. So you're welcome to go there and try it out. But let me explain exactly what Die Hard does. So Die Hard has three elements, of which two that I'm going to focus on today. One of them is over-provisioning. And by that, basically, it's a very simple idea, is to say, just like in many engineering efforts, we build in extra tolerances beyond what's absolutely necessary. So when I build a bridge, oftentimes I figure out what the capacity of the weight-bearing ability of that bridge is, and then I add a certain fraction because I know that my calculations might have some issue. So in this case,
I hope it's more than a fraction.
exactly. So when you drive over that bridge, you know, it's up to you to decide how safe you want to be. Yeah. And of course, you know that the more over-provisioning, the more extra support they have in that bridge, the more it's going to cost to build a bridge, but the safer you are going to be to drive across it. And this over-provisioning is the same idea except applied to the heap. And in this case, what we're saying is, if you say that I'm going to have a heap of a certain size, we're going to add extra space to your heap so that, in particular, instead of having objects directly adjacent now, they're going to be a little bit further apart. So let's just take, for example, we make the heap twice as large. What that means now is that in between every two objects, there's going to be basically empty space, and in fact, that's going to give us a lot of slack if there is a buffer overrun, preventing that overrun from actually modifying some other object accidentally. Okay, so that's the first idea. We make the heap larger, and the second idea is we randomize the placement. Okay, so that's each time we run the program. And by that, what I mean is to say, every time I allocate an object, I don't put it in a specific place, which is predetermined. I actually roll a random number, and from that random number, I decide where to put the object. So, for example, on one run of this program, if, say, this is object 10, and it shows up here in that run, the next time I run that same program, okay, that same object may be nowhere near that same location, so it might be down here. Okay? And so run to run, there's no correlation between any two objects in my program, and so a person who's trying to take advantage of some relationship between two adjacent objects no longer can take advantage of that information. And in fact, it's going to basically uniformly distribute the objects across the heap in such a way that there's really less predictability of the whole heap, essentially. So these are the two major ideas that we developed in Die Hard. There's actually a third idea, which I'm not going to talk about in a lot of detail, but that is replication.
And when you do that, I guess everybody's asking, you know, how slow does it get when you do all these things?
Great question. So let me not talk about replication, but performance is always a concern. The big issue with performance is there's two issues. One is I have a larger heap, so basically I'm using more space, and so you can look and see in your process explorer, et cetera, exactly how big your process is and whether or not, you know, it's so big that it's too big. And the second issue is because the objects are randomly located, it may slow the program down because the locality of reference has been reduced, meaning that we're missing in the cache more, et cetera. Okay, so we have built an implementation. Die Hard is the first implementation of this technology. In fact, we have another implementation called Robust Heap, and part of understanding whether the performance of these things is acceptable is to use them in applications for which they matter. So in particular, Die Hard has been implemented in such a way that you can extend the Firefox browser with Die Hard and use that browser. You can download that extension and use it in the current release of Firefox. And as a user, you can decide whether or not the performance is actually significantly reduced over using Firefox without Die Hard. The experience of users who have downloaded it, and there have been many, is that it does not make the performance unacceptable. It does use more memory. So if your computer is very constrained on the amount of memory it has, if you notice, for example, it taking a long time to load applications, etc., it may not be appropriate. But if you have extra memory, then in fact you're probably likely to not even notice that the Die Hard is being used. Similarly, for our internal version of Die Hard, an internal implementation of this technology, Robust Heap, we've used it in Microsoft applications that are interactive, and for the most part, you can't tell as a user that it's actually present. Of course, that doesn't mean that there aren't scenarios where it will run slower. And of course, in any kind of situation like this, you have to decide where your value is. Is it, do you care more about the security and the robustness, or do you care more about getting absolutely every ounce of performance? And so, of course, that's going to depend on situation. What we found is that there are almost always situations where a user is concerned about performance in some scenario where they'd rather have more confidence that the program is going to execute correctly than to see that it runs absolutely the fastest. And so that's what we've been working on. And we have an implementation. We have a paper that we've written that describes this technology. And as I said, you can go and try it yourself if you're interested.
Excellent. So before we leave, why don't you tell us a little bit about replication?
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're going to be left with a big question mark here.
So replication is a kind of a far-out idea. But basically, it says take exactly what we talked about already, but in fact also make multiple copies of this exact heap running with the same program. So instead of having just one layout with one set of objects, you actually have multiple copies, all of which are completely different because they're randomized. And with that technique, in fact, with replication, you get real fault tolerance, because then if one of these has an error, even if it turns out in one case that you have a buffer overrun that causes an error, the other replicas will not have that error. It's very unlikely that they will, and so you'll be able to continue executing in the presence of errors. Replication, of course, requires you to have extra processing power, extra memory, etc. It's probably not the most short-term technology, but with the multi-core processors, now we have many core processors. The likelihood that you will be able to take advantage of a replication-based approach actually increases in the future. So we're hoping and we're looking forward in that direction for that possibility.
Very cool. Well, very cool, Ben. Thank you a lot, and see you around.
Okay. Thanks a lot. It's great talking to you.